I feel like I've been thinking about movement all my life. Although I consider myself an average athlete with average physical ability, I've always had an eye of spotting good movement patterns quickly. My brain draws lines like vectors of gravity and triangulations of momentum, and I can't explain it. But I've spent most of my professional career trying to articulate that. My intuition or clarity about movement needed to be checked. I needed to make sure that I was objectively seeing what I thought I was seeing. To be honest with myself and those that I'm trying to help, I wanted to set a baseline, and I never wanted to trust my intuition professionally. The responsibility of a professional, whether you're educating, rehabilitating, training, or coaching, is elevated to the point that other professionals should find value in your intervention. But when I got into physical therapy, personal training, and even coaching, I found out that everyone always thinks they can do it better than the other person. Go ahead and look at the polls. Almost 99% of drivers polled feel like they're above average drivers. And if that's the case, then that's going to be a bell curve we've never seen before. Not every driver is above average. Many are below average. But the perspective is limited to extremely subjective criteria. So if we could all take a little chuckle and all realize that even though I just said that, we still place ourselves in the category of above average drivers and just assume that other people are incorrect in their appraisal of their skills, we might be able to understand how this can also occur professionally. Here's a good starting point if you're wondering about movement and you'd really like to go on a journey of self-discovery that is going to give you some feedback. I'd like you to check the boxes if you feel very strong and confident about your ability or the situation. Let's at least agree on a baseline. I'm going to use the movement screen, but I don't need you to agree or disagree about the movement screen. Just realize that in most research studies, it's considered a reliable baseline. The discrepancy comes when people try to value what the movement screen means to them. And we see many, many assumptions and misconsiderations in this appraisal. But let's just go back to the fact that it's a more reliable baseline sometimes than your own subjectivity. The research on reliability is attached in the article. The first question, and the box I'd like you to check, is can you accurately guess someone's movement screen just by looking at them, watching them exercise, or just seeing them move around in activity? If you've already answered the question, you made a mistake. Try to look at someone, move, look at the movement screen, guess their score, and then let's do a movement screen. Now, if you know somebody who can do a movement screen, it's even better because now you're not interfering with the objective data. But if you can't guess someone's movement screen, then either you feel it's unnecessary information or you just admitted that your eye for movement needs to be trained and needs to have a feedback loop that it does not currently have. Number two, can your client or athlete, or even the patient you just finished rehabilitating, guess their own movement screen? You might be surprised here, because just like driving, people will either overestimate their movement abilities or far underestimate their movement abilities. As we already know, with most individuals, we're having to push some and hold others back. But the guidance we do on each independent movement pattern may be different depending on the way they screen. See if they could guess their movement screen. You might find out that you underestimated their abilities and they overestimated their abilities. Let's get a touchstone we can both agree on. Let's hold to this anchor of objective movement appraisal. It's looking at patterns, and from a scientific standpoint, if your patterns are good, we shouldn't break down your parts and processes. If we observe no dysfunction in your behavioral patterns, including your movement behavior patterns, then we could easily break things down But why would we? Why wouldn't we move forward to more complex patterns if the basic patterns are intact? Logically, there's no reason to go down the rabbit hole of reductionistic thinking. If the behavioral patterns are average or above average, we then go into more complex behavioral patterns, like performance or sport specificity or higher levels of physical conditioning. But if the basic patterns are out, why would you go there? There's no foundation for the building you're getting ready to build. The last box I'd like you to interact with and hopefully check one day is, do you have an objective feedback loop for a single session? Now, this is very important because things like body composition, muscle hypertrophy, development of the physique, or even sports skills take weeks and even months before we can measure true change. Tangible change that's going to have a obvious effect. However, the human neurological system will often move better in a single session or even 5 minutes. We've done case studies all along, and when we use the movement screen or our medical movement screen, the SFMA, to find the bottleneck in movement, we attack a single pattern, knowing well that that single pattern does far more than simply change itself. When we throw the right corrective at the right pattern at the right time, movement changes in a single session. The question always comes up, well, how long will it hold? It depends on what you do to reinforce it. If negative movement behaviors, unproductive movement behaviors, like too much overhead lifting with too poor a technique is what you're doing, then the first order of business in the movement screen is to remove the negative, not to add a positive. Why would we try to correct something that's probably environmental? We've often said that unless somebody has a compelling past medical history or pain on the movement screen that would responsibly need a medical second opinion before they exercise or stress their body to a certain degree, then we're not going to consider the organism to be broken. In biological terms, we all have to make a decision. Do we choose to modify the organism, or do we choose to modify the environment? When I'm trying to activate a muscle that I don't feel is firing, I am literally trying to manipulate the organism. And in most cases, when an organism is broken or not responding, then regardless of the environment you put them in, they're not going to do better without some form of holistic and systematic medical intervention. It doesn't mean we'll always find a medical problem, but we will find something that should be evaluated medically to reduce inappropriate stress on a vulnerable body system. If you simply have dysfunctional patterns in your movement screen, it is the knee-jerk reaction of the trainer and coach to automatically assume the organism is broken. But I would compel you to look at a different place. In my opinion, if they don't have a past medical history or pain with movement, I would encourage you to change the environment first. And this is where trainers and coaches are brilliant. The best of the best trainers and coaches tweak and adjust the environment, the practice session, the lifestyle. And if you're going to make these changes in somebody's training or conditioning program, you've got to have much more than your own opinion. Number one, to make sure you're on the right track, but number two, to demonstrate to them that their confidence in you is well placed.